Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, October 14th. An overcast day, overcast morning,
it is.
Huh?
It is. It's a little cooler.
Good. It's been getting chilly at night,
yeah.
Too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we are getting a winter after all.
Yeah,
now the question
fall's
is,
coming through.
Yeah. The question is, will it be a wet one or what?
I heard thunderstorms maybe on the cards today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good. I'll take them. I'll take them.
Right.
I won't wash my car then, just in case.
I know. That's the worst.
Yeah.
When you wash your car and then it rains.
You know that many of them give you like a rain check? Did you know that?
No,
they're like, if it rains like within 24 or 48 hours, they'll redo your car for you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I guess you have to keep the receipt, and I don't usually.
Yeah.
I just throw it away. Well, actually, the receipts, you have to give it to them, right? Usually when you pick up the car, do you ever get your car washed?
Yeah, but usually I just do the like drive through.
I see.
Thing.
Okay. All right.
I don't like pick it up and.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. When they work on your car and stuff, you got to give them the receipt back so they can give you your car.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to keep it? I don't know. But I remember in the past it happened. You know, at least one place I knew used to do that.
They would go out of business if they did that in England.
Yeah. I can't see how anybody washes their car there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
What's the point?
I know, right? Seriously.
I know.
Cars are a lot cleaner in America than they are in England.
Yeah. And especially in L.A., you know, I mean, people really love their cars out here.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll go many places in the Midwest and stuff. They don't really care. But, you know, they also have bad weather, you know. They have
right.
the salt on the road. Mm-hmm. It makes the cars rust and stuff. So they don't care as much about their cars. We're a car culture here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, definitely. They use Southern California. Many car manufacturers use Southern California as the test market for new cars, you know.
Right.
Because we're the ones who kind of decide the taste of the of the country.
And
as
really
far
as care. L.A. really cares about the cars.
I know. I mean, people drive, like, really expensive cars here.
Right.
And, like, a BMW or Mercedes, nobody looks twice at those,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you have to get, like, a Maserati or a Rolls Royce or a Ferrari
definitely.
For
yeah.
people to look at you. Even a Ferrari doesn't stand out that much.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
I know. But, you know, I was thinking about it. It's really not, excuse me. When, in the scheme of things, cars are not that expensive. You know, I mean, if you spend like, some people will spend like a couple thousand on rent every month and stuff. So a $300 payment, $400 payment on a car is not bad.
Right.
But when you get the expensive cars, you know, it's not like a few thousand dollars. I mean, you can get like, I saw a Maserati being advertised on TV for about $800, $900 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah, that's a lot of money. But for some people, it's a pimple on their ass, you know.
Right.
It's
like,
nothing.
Yeah, like a Tesla is $1,000.
Yeah, or something like that.
But you're also saving money on gas with a Tesla.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Where do people actually recharge them? Just at home? I mean, I haven't seen any charging stations.
Well, the car recharges itself.
Oh, it does?
Driving, yeah.
Oh, so maybe
and like a lot of hybrid cars now, there's a Lexus that does that too.
Right.
It
and those are the
while
hybrids.
You're driving.
But isn't a Tesla completely electric?
Yeah, but I think it recharges itself. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it recharges itself while it's.
Yeah, it's got to, man, because otherwise I don't know where they would stop.
Right.
To recharge.
But if you're driving a long way to work every day, especially in LA, and you're paying $500 for a car payment,
right.
you could probably get a Tesla and you're going to be saving money.
That's true.
You know?
Huh?
Yeah, which is crazy.
I know. So, you know, I mean, for some people, $1,000 is a lot of money, but in LA, it really isn't, you know. That's why people get like Mercedes and BMWs like their Toyotas.
Right. And you can get good deals on them.
You really can, you know. I mean, some of them are like $400 a month or something, you know. You do have to come up with $3,000, $4,000 down.
Right.
Which, it's not really a down payment because you don't really earn it. I mean, it's a lease,
back.
You know. Yeah. When you buy a car, I found that it's It makes more sense to lease cars, you know, mm-hmm. unless you keep your cars for a long time.
Right.
But if you like to drive new cars and you figure you're already used to a car payment, you can be driving a new car every couple of years.
Yeah.
Which is what I do.
And you have warranty if something goes wrong.
Exactly, the whole time. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about selling it afterwards and losing money and all
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I used to sell cars and they taught me that. So,
yeah.
See, our guest is already calling. I'll give them a few more minutes because I wanted to cover a few things here. But we're going to have a guest in a few minutes. And she's a writer, I guess, a blogger too and mm-hmm. stuff. And she likes to talk about sex. She wrote a couple books about it. So we're going to find out. You know what? Let's just take the call and, you know, whatever, not to give her a hard time. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, Sam. This is Jody Ambrose calling in.
Yes, Jody. Good morning. We were just saying you're calling too early, but that's okay.
Oh.
Because, yeah, because usually, you know, we set up the show for about 10, 15 minutes or so, and then we have the guests call in. But since you were calling in, I figured I'm not going to let you keep guessing for 10 minutes what's going on, you know, why nobody's answering.
I was actually listening into your car conversation.
Oh, okay, cool, all right. So we're talking to Jody Ambrose. She's calling us from where today?
I'm calling in from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Where in Arizona?
Scottsdale?
Oh, Scottsdale. Okay. Yeah, I've heard of the place. Never been there, but is it... So that's pretty much like a desert over there, right?
To say the very least, yes. We were in our low 90s just this last weekend. It's like God has forgotten that it's mid-October and it should be cool outside.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, so, I mean, what drew you there? You weren't born there, were you?
No, I'm actually originally from the East Coast of the United States over in Maryland, but I've been in Arizona for about 20 years now, so I'm almost officially considered a native to Arizona because I've been here so long.
Yeah, it's your hometown now.
Yeah, sounds cool. Jody, are you on a speakerphone or are you on a regular phone?
Because I'm on a regular phone. Are you guys having trouble hearing me?
No, it just sounds like you're a little distant, but we can hear you just fine. It's just that it sounds like you're on a speaker, but that's fine. So, Jody, we introduced you briefly. You wrote three books?
Yes, sir.
Three books. Two of them on about sex and one about cooking. I can definitely see the relation between the two. And I mean, you're talking here about long-lasting relationships. The keywords here are flatter, frolic, and feed. So,
So
obviously you found the connection between sex and food too.
I tell you, there's nothing better than having absolutely all five of your senses alighted at one time. So if you're between the food and the sex and the intimacy, all those things come together at once.
Yeah, sounds good. How did you get involved in, is this like your line of work? Are you like what do you do with your time being a sexpert and all that?
I always love that term, sexpert. It makes me laugh every time I hear it.
Well, that's the...
I actually do a couple different things. I've actually been in education for a large part of my life, but while doing that, my writing has always been something that's been very, very important to me, and kind of people in general, and how do people respond to stimulus, and what makes people happy, and what makes people enraged, and you know, how to have a life that makes everybody, including yourself and everyone around you, happy. And so all of those things kind of coalesced 3 or 4 years ago into writing my first book, which I always wanted to do and finally sat down and took the time to do it.
What made you want to write to the male audience and not the female audience first?
This is a little bit strange, but here's kind of the backstory. So I had a friend of mine on Facebook was complaining about how his girlfriend was making him crazy. He could not stand. He just couldn't figure her out. He's like, she's never happy with me. She's always making me feel bad. I never do anything right. What do I do? So I wrote him this list, and I said, do these 10 things in the next 2 weeks. She'll work with the ground you walk on.
Right.
So he's like, okay, thanks, that's great. And about 2 weeks later, he emailed me, and he's like, oh, you're a genius, which of course he doesn't fuck you for that, right? And he said it actually worked. It really worked. So at that point, there was a whole bunch of comments going back and forth. And coincidentally, at about the same time, a friend of mine, Leo, at work, came up to me and said, "You need to write a book. Go home now, write it." And so between those two things, I went home that Friday night and started writing the first book.
That's cool. So you realize the universe is telling you something.
Exactly, because it all came together at once. It was kismet.
Right. Were you a writer before that? I mean, was writing always part of you?
It really was. When I was just a little tiny girl, and, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never wanted to be a prince. Well, a princess would be great, even nowadays. But my goal was always to be a high school teacher, and I always wanted to teach English. So even when I was a little tiny girl, I always knew that books and writing and all of that was going to be a big part of my life. And so now it's just morphed into writing a little bit fast mouth kind of relationship books and then the cookbook.
Right.
The first book's called Sex, How to Get More of It, A Guy's Roadmap to Paradise, In and Out of the Bedroom. And the second book is... Oh, sorry, I can't find it.
Sex, How to Get More.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
The Success of Sex, How to Get More.
And then, so the first book is aimed to men, and the second one aimed to women. What made you really home in on sex, and that was going to be the topic of the book?
Yeah, well, the first book, interestingly enough, even though it was initially written for men, a lot of women read it as well and would email me and read comments for me on my Facebook page and things like that. And I was really quite shocked because it is sassy. This book is full mouth. There's no two ways around it. And I was very pleasantly surprised by the reaction that I was getting from women. They're like, "I read it and I forced my husband to read it and he actually laughed," and I was thrilled me to no end. And then they would come and say, "Well, why isn't there a book for us?" I'm like, "Oh, it's all in my head." They're like, "Well, put it on paper." So it was them asking me to do it.
Sorry, the second book's Intimacy, How to Get More of It, A Peek to Understanding the Male Mind.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It was wonderful, too. It was actually a little bit harder to write because with the guys, I come in swinging a bat. I'm not gentle at all in the guys' book. I'm, you know, very to the point. I think of that book more as a handbook, kind of like a bulleted list for men, so that it's not 400 pages long. It's really short. It's nitty-gritty. Do these things. You're going to make your girl happy. Whereas with the women, there's a little bit more storytelling going on. It's really trying to engage with their emotional side and understanding how being able to tame certain impulses or enhance other impulses can really bring you that joy. So it's about twice as long as the book for the guys.
Right. So now, how does the food, calculate into all this?
Well, it's funny because my publicist said to me, "Well, you need to write a cookbook," and I burst out laughing. Do either of you like to cook? Let me just ask you first. Are either of you chefs in the kitchen?
No, not really. No, not at all.
I would like to be, but no.
Yeah, we had a chef here on the show yesterday, but no, we're not the cooking type. We enjoy eating more.
And that's me. And I'm the exact same way. And I said to my publicist, I'm like, "Are you crazy? Like, I avoid the kitchen like the plague. Like, if my husband didn't do all the cooking, I would starve to death. Like, why in the world would I write a cookbook?" And he was like, "Well, think about it." He's like, "You and your husband have managed to make this work, where he does a lot of the cooking, you do a lot of the eating. It's a perfect symbiotic relationship." He's like, "But you probably have to cook some things, right?" I'm like, "Yes." I'm like, "I've actually mastered the art of cooking stuff that is so ridiculously easy that, like, a blindfolded squirrel could cook it." And he's like, "There you go."
Yeah.
So the half of the book is for people who love to cook. So it's all my husband's recipes, things that, like, I read the ingredient list and I start to cry. There's no way I can make it. What is saffron? I don't know what that is. And then the second half of the book is for people like me who are just like, "Keep me out of the kitchen. What are, like, the fastest, easiest, no fail recipes on the face of the earth?" It's kind of half and half book.
Yeah. Well, sounds pretty good. So how did you, I was going to ask, how did you become interested in sex and stuff? But I can see that, everybody's got different ways how they're interested in it. But how did you decide to actually make it something you're going to write about?
You know, I when I was very young, I always gravitated towards having a lot of male friends. Mm-hmm. And I love women. Women are awesome. I have great girlfriends. But I always tended to have more male friends.
Right.
And I'm not the judgmental type. Like, really, anyone can do whatever they want as long as not hurting anybody. Who am I to judge, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
But because of that, guys always felt safe talking to me. And so they would tell me, like, the most lurid, intimate. They're like, oh, I can't wash my brain and unknow that now. Oh, my Lord. You can't tell all of this stuff. And I would say to them, like, they would tell me something they did with their girlfriend or some comment they made that made her angry. And I'm like, are you stupid? Of course that's going to make her angry. Well, why? And so I spent so many years trying to kind of educate my friends on how not to be morons with their girlfriends. So, like, if you just do these things, she'll be so happy, and then you won't have to worry about all these issues. And so it was really just kind of a wonderful life full of way too much information from way too many of my male friends. But it really helped create that book. And, and I had a lot of guys read it before it was published and said, what do you feel about this? And I get such great positive feedback. So thank goodness all those guys talked to me all those years and helped me learn so much about men.
That's true. Now, I mean, you've been talking about people in relationships and stuff. What about guys that are, like, dating and trying to find, how can they get more sex? I mean, that's a big question. Maybe you have the ultimate answer.
I get that question, and it makes perfect sense to ask it. So much of what's in the book is great for people in relationships, but it's also really good for people who are seeking relationships, because one of the things it talks about is how to help a woman feel secure and feel safe in a relationship and feel adored and be able to trust you and trust that you'll do what you say you're going to do. And when you kind of have that as an attitude as a man going into meeting a woman at a bar or when you start to have a conversation with a woman, if you have that as your basis of how you interact with women, women can tell. They can tell if you're confident. They can tell if you're insecure. They can tell if you're kind of easing on them. Women have a really good radar for that.
Yeah.
And so really all about kind of changing, or not even necessarily changing, but just understanding what communicates effectively to women. And then it's much more natural than it would be to come on with a line at a bar or something like that.
Yeah, because it seems like the men today really have to have game out there, you know, because it's obviously, you know, not about the way you look. It's about how you talk and, you know, your level of confidence to walk up to people and start talking. You know, so I have to agree with you. You know, I think it has a lot to do with the attitude and your approach toward women in general. You know,
it really so much, because a woman, you know, if a woman feels like she's being played from the minute she meets you, like I used to joke with my girlfriend that, because living in Scottsdale, there, you know, we talk about Scottsdale men, and Scottsdale men are usually very pretty and they drive very fancy cars and they talk about how much they make. And I always had a rule that if a guy told me what kind of car he drove or how much money he made or what zip code he lives in within the first 10 minutes of meeting me, it was simply not going to happen. There was going to be no date, my friend. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really, like, so many guys need to understand that it's, when you're talking about a real woman and a real relationship that's going to stand the test of time, starting off by showing her your role life, unless she's a gold digger, is probably not the best way to start a real relationship with somebody.
That's
what
true.
Do you think men should open a conversation with, or open a starting date?
You know, and especially, I think, especially in places, in environments where people actually go to pick up other people, like in a club or something, you know? So, yeah, how do you walk up to someone? What do you say?
You know, I've asked women this because I was always curious too, because I'm a little bit odd with the types of, you know, lines, quote unquote, that I like. So I actually put something out there a few years ago, and I said to women, what do you like? Like, if you're in a bar or you're going to some kind of mixer and you know that you are there to scout men and be scouted by them, what kind of lines do you like? And the number one line that women like was a man just calmly, casually walk up to them and say, hi, I noticed you from over there, and I thought you looked beautiful, and I wanted to come say hello.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
how simple can that be? Yeah. Notice true. You drop from heaven, you're an angel, all this kind of stuff. Just simple and honest and upfront, and women love that.
Oh, wow. Because, yeah, it sounds too simple and stuff, but, you know, I mean, it almost sounds like a cliche because I think a lot of guys use that line too, but you're saying that it actually works.
If you say it genuinely, right. If you come up and like, hey, baby, I saw you from across the room, and bam, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, that sucks. Don't do that. That's bad. But it's when you emanate that confidence, not arrogance, but confidence, where you're just like, I am a strong man, I am coming up to the woman who I want to talk to, and I just want to say hi and have a conversation. It's amazing how that breaks a woman's defenses down, because they're not immediately going, ugh, what an idiot, I can't believe he just said that. Women are much more open to that conversation.
Right.
So it's just being real and being kind and being thoughtful and making good eye contact, and don't look right at her cleavage initially. Look at her face.
Yeah.
Things really do help in 90% of the cases.
Yeah. Well, I take issue with the cleavage thing because, you know, I mean, it's hard to ignore that. And I think and I think that's a cruel joke that women play on guys, you know, with those cleavages, you know. I mean, it's like, what are you supposed to do, you know? I mean, they make so you look, you know.
We don't wear low-cut shirts for ourselves, right? We wear them to the opposite sex, and then they look at it, and we're like, hey!
Yeah, exactly.
I
can't tell you how difficult it is to talk to a woman when she has a cleavage and not to look, you know? It's like all you constantly think about is don't look, don't look, don't look, and you don't pay attention to the conversation.
A guy did something really cute one time, and it totally charmed me. I don't know if it's a charm anybody else, but it charmed me. I am the queen of wearing V-neck shirts, and, you know, I'm rather ample up there, so my cleavage is always showing.
Right.
And I had a guy come up to me in a bar, and he unfolded a cocktail napkin, uh-huh. and he put it on my chest, and he's like, this is so I can talk to your face. I passed out laughing. Like, it was the best line ever in the world I've ever done. So,
true.
You know, depends. I mean, a lot of women might freak out, like, don't touch me, you freak. I thought it was hysterical. So, you know, just being real and being funny and being confident, all of those things are so attractive to women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so Jodi Ambrose, there's three books. Where can people find out more about you? Do you have a website?
I do. You can go to jodiambrose.com. It's spelled JOBIAMBROSE.com, and that'll take you to, you can get books from there, you can go to Amazon, it takes you to my blog, which is nothing but sassiness, Twitter, Facebook, it'll take you to everywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Your blog is what? Nothing but what?
It's sassy. My tagline for my blog is proud to be a sass mouth, because I tend to be a little bit mouthy on that blog as well. It's a free place where everybody can go and say whatever they want and never have to worry about recrimination. So it's a very happy place to be.
Well, you sound pretty cool. You know, I'd read books from you because you seem to have good things to say and a good attitude about it. Mm. And that's a cool thing. So everybody go out and get the books, read the blog, jodiambrose.com, and get more information there. And, yeah, I'd like to check out the cookbook, too. It sounds pretty interesting. It's called...
It's a fun one.
Yeah, Darn Good Eats.
Yeah.
All right, Jodi. Well, thank you so much for calling in. You're a lot of fun. And
thanks for having me.
Of course, and all the best to you.
You guys take care. Have a good one.
You too. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Yeah. I like books about sex. I don't read enough of them.
Definitely. And the cookbook, too. It sounds like something.
Yeah.
Easy recipes sound like something that I would be.
Right. I wonder if she tells you should be cooking naked for the food to come out good. I know. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool to be involved in writing about sex.
Definitely.
And stuff like, yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, and helping people.
Yeah.
Obviously people need to learn about it, because
yeah, but that was a good idea about approaching women, you know. I mean, it sort of like, I mean, if a guy walked to you like that you wouldn't be like too defensive, right?
No, I would rather somebody did that than a corny chat up line.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But what if somebody walks up? I mean, sometimes people just walk up and say, hi, I'm such and such, you know, and I'm Sam or something, you know, and
yeah.
immediately so you respond with your name. I think that can work too.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? I mean, I don't do it much, so I don't know if it works or not, but it's worth a try.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to come up with lines. Just try to be genuine.
Right. I met my boyfriend in Catalina Island.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When you went with your mom?
Yeah.
Really?
And we were the only people in the restaurant. It was me and my mom, and then my boyfriend was with clients.
Right.
And he just came up and they conveniently placed us next to each other. There was no one else in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But it was outside and he said, oh, you guys getting sun out here?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, yeah. But it was that was like an icebreaker kind of
right.
statement saying, oh, just, I don't know, but it was genuine. He wasn't trying to be
well, but it wasn't an environment where people pick up people,
but,
you know,
yeah.
so it's a little easier, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, if you were like with a few girls and stuff, it probably would have been harder to approach you. But at the same time,
I feel like it would have been easier if I was with a few of my friends.
Really?
Rather than with my mom.
Well, you know, but for him, maybe it was easier. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because it's sort of like he's... it's like he's approaching both of you, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, he wasn't walking, especially to you and just introducing himself to you,
right.
you know. So I think the situation was cool, but that's nice, you know, so that's cool.
Yeah, but it was a good icebreaker.
Yeah.
And that kind of led into more conversation.
Right. Because, I mean, the point is only to get the conversation going, you know.
Right.
Once you do, that's it.
Yeah.
And the reason it's so hard to start, because that's the point where you get rejected if you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's right in the beginning.
Completely.
You know?
And I don't think I was very, I think I just said, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I was very open to a conversation at that point.
Right.
Because it was kind of a yes or no answer.
Right.
But it opened up the conversation. It allowed, it was
right.
like, oh, he wants to talk.
So what did he do? He sat down with you and started talking?
No, he was sat at the table next to us.
Oh, next to you. Okay,
yeah,
so he could talk without getting up or anything?
Yeah, but
oh, okay.
it was a big group of, it was about 10 guys.
Right.
And they were all very loud. And and my mom was a topic of conversation because her accent is so strong.
Yeah.
So it worked out for him because everyone was kind of talking. And
right, you see, and it's easier yeah. when you have people with you and stuff.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, I mean, the rejection is not as hard.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of go back to your group and you continue, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's always more confidence, I think, than if you're alone and you try to pick up somebody, you
right?
know? It's like, I think the point is to make it look natural, you know,
mm-hmm.
not like you're hitting on her.
Yeah, and that's what it was. But I definitely think it would have been probably humiliating if I'd have said no when he asked for.
Mm-hmm.
He asked my mom if he could take me out when we got back to LA.
Really?
And in front of clients. And if I'd have said no, that probably would have been.
Yeah.
A bit embarrassing.
Yeah, but he put yeah.
But
I mean,
he put himself out there, and yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
And it paid off. You
yeah.
know, yeah, you got to take risks. You really do.
Yeah, definitely. He's a charmer.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it worked. You know,
yeah.
there
yeah.
you go. Wow. Wait, did you were you in a relationship before that?
No.
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 So like all the time you were in Florida and stuff, you weren't in a relationship.
Oh, I was when I was in Florida.
Oh, in Florida?
Yeah. I dated somebody in Florida for a while, but
then not, you moved here and you didn't
yeah,
know anybody.
It had been about a couple of years since I'd been dating somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, speaking about Florida and stuff, we were talking about that quarterback that was shoplifting.
Right.
Did you hear about this
Jameis.
NFL? Yeah. Did you hear about this NFL guy that was just caught shoplifting?
No, but
yeah, the Dallas Cowboy Joseph Randall was arrested for
wow.
shoplifting $80 worth of cologne and about $40 worth of, I don't know, something, clothes or something. But
wow.
he's great. Yeah.
What's
$40
point?
Worth of underwear in addition to $80 in cologne.
Oh, my gosh. What's
yeah.
the point?
What's the point? What's the point? I think, you know, I don't know. I just think that this starts early on in their lives, you
yeah.
know. And I think what happens, maybe when they're a kid, they shoplift and it always seems okay to them.
Yeah.
You know,
I
it's
don't
like
know.
In the system. I mean, why else? It's hard to explain. You know, I mean, you get arrested, you get a mugshot. Why?
Yeah, there's more and more coming out about pro football players. Last night there was a game on. It was San Francisco Giants against St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
And they zoomed in on one of the players. I don't know which team.
The 49ers, you mean, not San Francisco Giants.
Sorry, yes,
right.
It was the 49ers.
Right.
And they said that they zoomed in on him and said that his wife was called 911 and she had bruises on her. She's pregnant. So he's under investigation.
Wow.
And it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
I know.
It's crazy how much is now, because there was one player, it was Ray Rice, who started it all off, and now so much more is coming out about pro football players, and it's insane.
I know. And there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, between one guy killed people and the other one, you know, with the dog fights and stuff, you know, what was his name? And, you know, and they do all these crazy things. And you have to wonder, you know, where's the rationality behind all this? You know,
right.
I mean, are these people that stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I don't understand what's behind it. I'm really curious to hear or to know what's on his mind. I don't know if he would tell the truth, but I wonder what he's thinking when he does
definitely.
That.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
It's insane.
Crazy people.
Mm-hmm. There's a lady here who, she's called Susan Mellon. She was convicted of manslaughter, I think it was. She was sentenced to life. Life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Wow.
And
that must have been bad, what she did.
Well, the guy had been beaten with a hammer and set on fire.
Wow.
After 17 years, last Friday, she walked free. She wasn't guilty.
Really?
And the lady who was,
who was responsible for it? The arsonist?
They give her...
Oh, like the DNA testing?
No, she gave a testimony. Sorry,
oh, okay.
I was completely blanking there.
I'm like playing 20 questions.
Sorry. June Patty, who gave testimony saying that this lady was guilty, and I guess said she saw, I don't know, but is a pathological liar and has a habit of giving bad tips to the police. So the testimony didn't match her initial statements that she gave in court. Or the testimony in court didn't match her initial statements, and then now, 17 years on, was completely different. So they were able to prove that she was innocent, but it wasn't until an attorney, Deirdre O'Connor, who runs an organization called Innocent Matters, she'd been investigating another case, came across it. But imagine if this attorney hadn't have come across, wasn't doing anything, didn't know, didn't come across this case, and this lady was just still in prison.
Yeah. I figured after 17 years, you probably would have given up anyway, you know?
Yeah, well, she had carved freedom in her sneakers and just prayed that something would... that this was going to sort itself out. But she said now that she's free, she has a new grandson that's 16 months, and it wasn't like it was 17 years ago when she came out. She couldn't believe that everyone was walking on the street with phones. And,
right.
And it was just crazy.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're gone for 17 years.
But I mean, to be... And the judge had said that the justice system had failed in this case, and it's, I feel there's a lot of cases where it does.
Yeah. And that's why I think death penalty is not the ultimate punishment, because you can end up killing people that are innocent.
Yeah, definitely.
You
I
know?
Mean, 17 years of her life. I mean, her life's over.
Yeah.
You know, 17 years.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Do they say how old she is now?
No, but she looks probably about 30 or 40. Well, she has kids that are early 30s, so she must be 50-ish at least.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was her boyfriend that was set on fire and killed.
Oh, really? Her boyfriend?
So
okay,
it sounded
so
like she was framed.
Right.
But...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you should see that Gone Girl, man. That one is pretty
scary stuff.
Yeah,
I guess that's about the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Framed and...
Yeah, and things like that, you know.
Definitely have to see that.
I know. And how many people get exonerated based on DNA testing and things like that? But they often do too late, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes Yeah, I mean, you spend your whole life in prison until they find out that it wasn't you. And that's why, yeah, I mean, the justice system fails quite a bit, I think. And that's sad, you know. I mean, people end up going to prison for nothing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very sad.
And that's scary, you know. I mean, that scares me, yeah.
And it's not, and once you've, and especially things like rape and murder, it just completely ruins your name.
Yeah.
Like you're, you know. Whether you are not, and we've spoken about this before with situations such as rape, as soon as it's mentioned, no one's going to trust you again.
Yeah, exactly. You know, then you go back in the community and people look at you like, you know, like you're a freak or something, or a criminal. So, I mean, not to say that there aren't pedophiles out there, but I'm sure there are some that are getting accused by... you know, slighted wives, girlfriends, whatever, you know. And it's, you know, I mean, that's just the thing. I mean, just the accusation can ruin you, even if you're innocent.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's what I don't like when they arrest you first and then ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all it takes is, just think about it. All it takes is you can call the police, tell them, look, my boyfriend is beating me up or he's raping me or something. They're going to come and arrest him first.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Then it gets in the news. It gets here. It gets there. Everybody knows. But nobody forgets when he comes out innocent.
Right.
I mean, nobody remembers that. They only remember, you know,
the
terrible thing. So it's very scary. It's very scary.
It is.
Yeah. Do you like expensive purses and bags and things like that?
Not too expensive.
No, huh?
I think it's a waste of money.
Yeah, like no Louis Vuitton for you and stuff.
No.
Yeah. They're talking about Hermes bags.
I do like those bags.
Do you?
It's just, I don't know. It's a lot of money to spend on a bag.
God, I mean, you know. Yeah, and those are more expensive, right?
Because
I think Louis Vuitton's like $1,000, $1,200. These can get like $10,000, $20,000, and even $60,000for exotic skins. Okay, so apparently what happened is a lot of people are complaining that their bags are smelling like skunks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good when you pay that much money.
No, it's not. They're saying apparently when it gets hotter outside, you can smell it more. But it's like more than 2,200 people have posted comments about it.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Can you imagine? I mean, my God, you know, and they probably will never take it back, you know, the purse.
That's crazy.
I know. How do you do something like this? I mean, how, you know, it's all these things. The same with like car recalls and stuff. It's not one person. You have a lot of people working on it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, about all the stupid decisions, the new Coke that came out, which is the best example of bad marketing decisions and stuff. So you sit there with people, a bunch of people, supposedly smart people. Your business really is to create something and make sure that it works. And even that they can't do.
Yeah.
You know?
Seriously.
So where are they? I mean, how can you possibly make these purses and not figure out that they smell like skunk? You know? I mean, why is it only when it goes out to the market it's like that?
It should be along the assembly line, someone smelling.
Yeah, you know? Like the same with the Apple phone, that people can bend it, you know? I mean, didn't occur to anybody to try and do that, you know, before they release it?
You'd think so.
Yeah. So maybe sometimes they realize it's there, but they're like, oh, well, we're not going to go back and remanufacture all of them.
Yeah, it would take a lot of money and time.
Yeah, but that's why they make prototypes, and you're supposed to catch that when they do that.
Right.
But with all the car recalls and everything, it's like, my God, how can the airbag not function?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've been making airbags for years, for decades, and how can it be like, you know, or like problems with the vehicle can catch on fire and things like that, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, how do you let things like this happen in the first place?
Right. It's a big problem when something like that happens.
Yeah,
And on a handbag, it's like there's not that many things that go into it.
Yeah.
So you'd think that the smell, and if the handbag sat in the middle of the table right now and a lot of people are around, you can smell. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that would have been something to catch.
Yeah, people are saying, yeah, they're embarrassed to carry the bag in the mall. And, you know, I mean, I don't see the fashion statement about, you know, showing a purse that costs $5,000. But I guess when you have everything, what the hell, right?
Right.
like we said, you know, it could be just a pimple on their ass for some people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, apparently most of their purses are like exotic skins. So, yeah, I think the smell would be an issue that would be part of quality control.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man.
I guess the Pistorius, I mean, this case is just dragged on for so long.
Yeah.
But I guess he offered $34,000 to the family of his
former girlfriend.
Yeah, former girlfriend. And he's been paying monthly payments of $550 because the families needed help.
Oh, wow.
But that just seems weird.
That's not going to do it.
He's paying them. It's like, is he paying them off? And the family is obviously in contact with him because he's paying them.
Right. And he's walking around, too. I mean, he could be sentenced to jail for a long time. But he's out on bail, you know. He's a free man as of right now still. So, yeah, he's able to make all these arrangements and stuff. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
They'd call it the $34,000 blood money.
Yeah.
But then they take the $550 a month, so that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they do. And that's not a lot of money anyway.
No.
But he's probably spent all his money on lawyers.
Right.
So he doesn't have much left.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Wow. The this year's sexiest woman, it's funny because in the article they just showed the eyes and I recognized them right away. Penelope Cruz.
Oh,
Penelope Cruz. And it is interesting. I mean, she looks beautiful, but don't forget she's 40 years old.
I was
about
to say she's older.
I mean, usually it's like the models, the 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, even 30s, that people say, oh, she's very beautiful and stuff.
Yeah.
But at 40 to be the sexiest woman, that's a big deal.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I think it's an encouragement to older women that reach their 40s and feel that their time is done, you know.
Definitely, yeah.
But at the same time, this can be kind of depressing, you know. If you're 40 years old, you look like shit. You look at her and you go, my God, you know. What
like
went
that.
Wrong? Yeah.
Kendall and Kylie Jenner were named, I don't know if they were named the top or in the top 10. I don't remember. I saw it yesterday. But influential teens.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is that now? The
Kendall and Kylie Jenner. It's the part of the Kardashian.
Right. Are they the kids of the mother?
Yeah, the mother and the dad.
And the dad?
Well, it's the mother and Bruce Jenner.
Right, and Bruce Jenner. And how old are the kids now?
Like 16 and 18 or 16 and 19, something like that.
Okay.
But I don't really know how they're influential.
Mm.
I don't really know what they do to be influential.
Well, maybe they're in the spotlight. I mean, do they still have the reality show and stuff?
Yeah, well, it's the Kardashians. Yes, they do. The Kardashians, that season ended a couple months ago, and now they're doing, I think it's Khloe and Kourtney Take the Hamptons. It's like one of their spinoffs.
Okay.
But that's the one that's airing, I think, in November. And Kylie Jenner is a model.
Mm-hmm.
She models for, I mean, the top people. She did the Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week. But how is she influential?
Yeah.
To young teens, I don't know.
Well,
Kylie Jenner got plastic surgery already. She's had like lip implants.
That's true. Well, but that's what they mean. Is I think they're not saying good influence. Maybe they're just saying they're influential.
True.
So if you like do your lips and stuff, you could be influencing other.
Very
teens.
True. I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I don't think it's the responsibility of the celebrity to set an example to other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like. That's not what I choose to be, but I guess it sort of like it comes with
the territory.
Yeah, with fame.
Yeah,
I guess there's a certain amount of responsibility. I guess because you know you're going to influence people.
Exactly, it definitely comes with, and you know when you become famous, quote unquote, or rich or whatever, you're going to people are going to look up to you, and you have to set an example.
Exactly.
Like all the football players,
you're
supposed to be setting an example.
Right, but you try and tell that to Justin Bieber or it's beyond comprehension, I think, for them to understand that. You know,
yeah,
he's a little older now. Maybe he's smartened up a little bit. But
is he 21 yet?
I don't know. Maybe he is.
I'm not sure.
Didn't he have the whole ordeal with the drinking and stuff, or was it more like car racing? I don't remember. There was something in Florida.
He's 20. He did 20. Have with drinking.
Oh, okay. So I guess the age doesn't matter when you want to drink, right?
Yeah, apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's 20. He was born in 1994.
Wow. Oh, wow. Let's see what else. Oh, this is interesting because I use Dropbox on my computer. And this morning, there's a message when I connected to it. It says, we've been hacked. You should change your passwords and everything.
Oh, boy.
Now Dropbox is coming and saying we weren't hacked. So the thing is that if you're not hacked, why are you writing this message to your users?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you would want to maybe send a message saying we were not hacked.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe they, at the beginning, strange. They thought they were, and then they found out they weren't.
They weren't, maybe.
I don't know. They're saying that the stuff is safe.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying passwords and usernames were stolen from unrelated services, not Dropbox.
Huh.
That's what the blog says. So, but
any yeah, word again, of hack with hack in it just isn't good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that's all we have to deal with lately. It's just those hackers all yeah. the time. And it gets worse, you know. So, and you know what? It's not anything new. I mean, everything ever since computers could communicate, mm-hmm. people have been hacking, you yeah. know. So it's not a new thing. I remember seeing movies about this like years ago and
right.
stuff.
So, for sure.
Yeah.
Uber's coming out with Uber Chopper, which is, have you ever used Uber?
No,
the taxi
I haven't.
System that, well, it's running original taxis out of business.
Right.
But you like put your credit card in the app and it's just charged, but it's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
You can go like 4 miles and it'll cost $6. It's insane.
That's true. Except there's some incidences I heard of people, you know, like...
Well, yeah, they tell you if it's going to be 2 times the rate or 4 times the rate. I think on New Year's Eve, I saw one person I'm friends with on Facebook was charged like 10 times the rate.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was like insane. Yeah. But now they're doing Uber Chopper, which is helicopters.
Wow.
But I don't know how I would feel about getting in
yeah.
a helicopter Uber. I don't know.
But think about it. You know, I think that it's probably going to be safer because, look, a pilot is trained. An Uber driver is not trained.
That's
They're
true.
Just an amateur driving.
That's very true.
You know, it's not like a bus driver. Even cab drivers, you know, they're professionals. They drive
yeah.
for a living. But
Uber, it's your own car.
Exactly, yeah. You know. And plus, I mean, you don't know who you might be picking up, you know. It's not a very very smart thing to do. In fact, I heard somebody in one of our shows, they were talking to an attorney who represented someone who got assaulted by an Uber driver. Or no, they were the driver.
And they got assaulted.
They got assaulted,
wow.
So they're suing Uber now.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't see that system is too open to abuse and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I guess it is an option, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a helicopter instead.
Wow. So how do they choose who comes and picks you up? I guess
I think it's just whoever's closer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they just go
on location.
So you could end up having like 10 people driving to pick you up, right?
No, you'll always just have one person picking you up, but the person that is...
No, but what I'm saying is that if you, like, let's say all these people get notices, right? Or mm-hmm. only the closest one
Only
to
the
you.
Closest one.
Only they get the notice.
Yeah, and then
okay.
they accept it. And if they don't accept it, then it goes to the next
one. To the next one. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's not like they broadcast it to everybody, like,
no.
hey, Charlotte's waiting for a ride,
yeah.
and everybody's
no.
rushing down
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's see. Okay, just about a minute. A 114-year-old woman had to fake her age to get on Facebook. And that's because they didn't have the year of her birth as an option.
Wow. Well, when you're 114, if you're trying to get on Facebook, that's pretty impressive.
It is, it
yeah.
is. But somebody helped her with it and stuff, I guess. But still, I mean, my God, I guess her son is 85 years old. Can you imagine having a son who's 85 years old? Wow.
It's impressive.
Yeah, so he helped her out. I mean, it's impressive that an 85-year-old is messing with with Facebook,
seriously.
You know? Oh, well, the world has changed.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jody Ambrose, for calling in. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
The best in morning radio. Tune into Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.